Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple. What a week it's been. There's some stuff. There's some normal stuff. Something's happened. We've got no Patrice this week. I don't know why, but we've got no Patrice. He's not in. I would have thought he'd have been here. But
he's in the chat room.
Why is he not on the show? Patrice, line 5, mate. Dial on. We'll get you in. It can't be any less smooth than last week's show, which I forgot to edit.
Awesome.
The leaving Steve Sandy unplugged for 10 minutes part is still in there if you'd like to listen to it.
Oh my God.
Thank you very much. I had an email this week. Someone said, where do I get the chat stuff? And it's like britishtechnetwork.com/chat and it's all in there. And they go, wow, yeah, but it's a different day. What day? It's not on the day that you publish it. It's never on the day we publish. It's on the day that we record it. And we always record on a Thursday now. So all shows are recorded on a Thursday for Mac and Big anyway. So check out the /chat and then just look at the Thursday dates and you'll see all of the crap that we've talked about Apple. And talking about that, I've got a fantastic bunch in here this week. Muller's not supposed to be there. I forgot to change his camera out. Sorry, Kelly. God, blimey, girl, I'd shave if I were you. There we go. That's more like it. Joining me, top left, Kelly Gamont. How the devil are you, woman?
I'm doing well. Swinging by to hang out in the chaos again today, so we'll see what happens.
Excellent, mate. Good stuff. next to her, it's the man in the cupboard with the tight shot. Our reporter from San Diego.
Yeah.
How you doing, Ann?
I'm doing all right.
Now, I didn't realise that San Diego is the epicenter of a massive ant war.
Oh, of a massive what?
Argentinian ant war.
Oh.
I listened to an episode of Radiolab today, and they were talking about this massive exodus of Argentinian ants that got on a boat from Buenos Aires in Christ knows when.
Did we talk about this on this show, or was it that
right
on
across the world?
We had this conversation in the iOS show.
Yeah, but it's just like it's a line on a street in suburbia in San Diego. That is the battlefront of the two families of Argentinian ants. There you go. So it was a really cool thing. I've listened to some Radiolab this week, so done a bit of driving. And there's been some great episodes. Really enjoyed
it. Yeah, they've kind of taken over. It's a whole California thing, actually. Yeah. I think we had this conversation on the iOS show, which is funny that you brought that.
Well, the largest colony apparently is in Europe.
Yeah.
And they're all over the world. And the thing is as well, they're all, what they've
they
done
don't
is they
fight.
No, exactly. They've taken ones from a colony in Japan and put them next to the ones in the Californian thing, and they sniff each other, and they know that they're from the same colony, so they don't fight.
Right. Yeah, so they've taken over. So they're pushing out all the other colonies, and then it's just like one massive colony now.
Really good episode.
Under the whole state.
I am about 3 years behind as well, though, with Radio. I'm slowly catching up. Slowly. Beneath him, he's got his lounge back. It's Doc.
That doesn't look like Doc.
Funny, Ewan, I did the same thing after talking to you a little bit ago. Like, I would listen to Radio Lab in spots, but I started going back and checking out some of the older episodes and whatnot. And it's amazing to me because I've always been a Freakonomic listener. So it's very similar but different. And I just, like, now I got, like, 3 brand new NPR stuff. So another one to check out is Backstory, if you ever get a chance. There's some great stuff on Backstory.
Oh, okay. Check that out. I haven't got time at the moment because I'm still trying to catch it with Radiolab, so
that's
not helping much. Has my bottle been posted yet?
Has what?
My bottle been posted.
No, not yet. I got one more, because I want to put one more bottle in there.
Oh, dude.
I'll hopefully get that done today.
I've had a few emails about turning that bit of video into a GIF, but apparently it works better on audio. The imagination seems to run wild when you're polishing your bottle.
Polishing the bottle. Now I know what post-it means. It took me a minute to recollect that, but I figured it out.
Okay, mate.
I have to go through the Brit English filter.
Yeah, there is. Okay, no worries. Post-it. And last but by no means least, a man who hasn't joined us since last year.
Indeed.
Don McAllister. How you doing, bud?
I'm all right. It's first time on a Thursday night as well. Very strange.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's all dark outside and...
That's changing. 5 o'clock, it was daylight tonight. It was brilliant.
Yeah, smashing.
Unbelievable. Summer's coming.
Yep.
What have you been up to, mate?
Oh, a bit of this, bit of that, you know, the usual stuff, bit of development and all work, you know me.
I've never had a ducking and diving, bobbing and weaving conversation with you where you've been elusive before. I've been to see a man about a dog.
Yeah, I know. There's a few things happening, so I'll tell you all about them later.
All right, okay, great. The Week in Apple, what's going on, what's big, what's happening, what's going on? There's an earnings call that we're going to talk about, I'm sure, where Apple just made a shitload of money. But the story I thought we'd start with is Samsung widens gap over Apple in worldwide smartphone market. Go on, Doc.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm only kidding. I don't really give a toss. But
I just don't, because it's funny, like, it's amazing to me how the writers of these stories are so smart in the way that they position headlines to work at the moment in time that they want it to work in. Because the same person, if you look a few months back at almost any site, you don't even have to pick one, will talk about how great the iPhones are killing the Samsung as far as profit gaining. And it's like, yeah, both sentences are true, but they're not quite relevant if you don't tell the whole story. So I just find it hilarious.
Okay, mate. That's enough of that. I didn't want to raise your blood pressure. It was only a joke.
No,
I mean, it's obviously Android, but Apple doing well. 231.5 million units.
That's a whole lot of phones.
That's a lot of phones. I'd be happy selling half that, even with the production overheads.
Well, and overall, their earnings report, they posted the highest quarterly earnings of any company ever reporting quarterly earnings ever. Not
they're,
like
they're doomed. They're doomed. The iPhone sales are slowing down. They're doomed.
Say. There are no qualifications on that. Not for a tech company. Not for a company that's less than 100 years old. Not a Fortune 500. None of that stuff. Period. More money than any company ever reported ever making ever. The end. And yeah, of course, that means they're doomed.
The
number I got out of the report was 34,000 iPhones per hour for three straight months.
Cool.
24 hours a day as well. It's just...
Yeah, that's 24 hours
a day. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Even, yeah. You know, and if you were to presume Apple stores are open 12 out of the 24 a day, you know, that comes out to 68,000 iPhones.
Well, that would be an impressive production rate, let alone a sales rate.
Yeah.
Samsung posts a profit warning, down 40%, said the fanboys in the chat room.
A profit warning?
Yeah.
We don't have any warning?
No, they're not making a lot of money on those, it seems. Huawei seems to be doing pretty well as well.
What makes that super hilarious is literally for the week leading up to the analyst call and for about 8 hours after the analyst calls, there's all of the conversation, like, you know, Don alluded to, about how Apple is doomed because their sales are slowing or leveling off. And it's funny, someone goes like, oh, maybe next quarter they're probably only going to grow by 2%. I'm like, yeah, but that's still growth. Yeah. That's not decline. But everyone's on this thing that it's declining. And it's funny because, like D-Pan wrote, as sarcastic as what D-Pan wrote is, it's technically true. And no one right now has anything to say about that because it doesn't quantify hits. You know, it's like somebody can say something salient about one of the other candidates. It's okay. Trump says something really stupid or even really salient, and everybody and their mother talks about it for 3 weeks.
And we're not quoting Donald Trump on this show, for Christ's sake.
No, I'm not going to quote.
No, it's an example.
I'll take the piss out of your fanboy stuff, but if you mention that you're a Trump supporter, mate, you're off, mate. You'll never be on this show again.
No, I totally get, you guys probably don't get quite the coverage that we do here.
Every single candidate says exactly the same thing.
The only one who gets any attention for it is Trump.
The only thing I thought with the Apple figures was the iPad is down. And I'll be careful how to put this, because I think there is some real concerns around iPad in the fact that, you know, yeah, okay, it's selling shed loads of units, but I think it's down and it's sliding compared to other markets that they've got. And I go back to the conversation we had last week where I said about, you know, what happened to the four quadrants of what you fulfill and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. with the job stuff. And okay, yeah, they were in a negative period at that point. But certainly I think that Apple don't want to see a negative slide on a product. And I think there is an issue for them with iPad sales.
I think it's a bit out of their control, though, because, I mean, it's still an unknown quantity, although it's been out, what, 4 or 5 years. The usefulness of the iPad doesn't sort of diminish after 12 or 24 months. You know, you can an iPad that was bought 3 years ago is still perfectly usable, and they're getting handed down. They're getting handed down to kids. They're getting handed over to other relatives. And it's just not the same sort of refresh cycle that you see with a Mac or with the phone. I mean, it's still, I read somewhere, it's a $10 billion piece of the organization on its own, so it's still a huge piece of the business. But I don't know, I'm not that concerned, because, you know, it will carry on, and then I think we will see it kick in, you know, when either they bring something out such as making the Apple Pencil available to the whole range, you know, that might give it a kick, or something's going to happen that will actually give the iPad a kickstart again, and those people who bought it a couple of years ago will decide, oh well, it's good enough now for me to, you know, pass this on and upgrade to the next version. So yeah, it's I think it's the thing that's worrying people is it was unexpected. They all thought it would take up the same trajectory as the phone, and obviously that wasn't going to happen after the first 2 years.
That would have been a deluded thought. I don't know why anybody would have ever thought that, considering the product and sort of the market for it. What's funny about all this analysis, I think, is that, again, here's another instance where none of this stuff is new. You have a product maturity cycle, and anybody who's taken any kind of economics or analysis, stuff like that, understand that you have a new product, you have a huge trajectory, and then it moves into kind of this cash cow territory for a while, and then it kind of rolls off. I mean, these charts have been out forever, and this is where Apple is at with the iPad and now moving into even the iPhone. Yet everybody's suddenly freaking out like it's the end of the world. But, you know, I'm sure Apple was aware these products were going to reach market saturation at some point. You know, they keep trying to expand into new markets, and that's kind of a way to keep things going. But, you know, you're not going to have this massive year-over-year growth with products that are this mature. You know, it happened with the iPod. It then happened with the iPad. It happened with the iPhone. The smartwatch is not a big enough market to offset any of that. So, you know, Apple is going to have to bring out new products and new technologies, but they're working on that stuff. Yeah. We know they're working on that stuff.
I mean, the thing that annoys me is that, you know, I think Apple, you can safely say that Apple have proved themselves over the past 10 years, that they are, right. You know, there's some bright people in there. They've made some good decisions, and they've steered the company to the position that it's in now. And, you know, even if the iPhone sales fall off a cliff, which they probably won't, but even if they did a year down the track, do people not realize that Apple have got something else in the pipeline already? And, you know, that they're not sort of going, you know, sitting there thinking, oh, this iPhone's great, you know, it's going to carry on for ages. They've got plans. They've got other products in the pipeline. They've got plans to keep up the company. But people just don't seem to be able to focus on that. They think, oh, no, you know, once the iPhone's gone, that's it. They're dead in the water. But it's plainly not the case.
Like, right. People were trying to compare it to the iPhone as a way to get your head around it initially as a tablet, because a lot of people didn't have any experience with a tablet until the iPad came out. And so I think a lot of people were sort of assuming that it was going to be the Pokemon thing, you know, gotta catch them all, because like the first one didn't have a camera, and then the second one did have a camera, and then the third one had Retina display, and then like they were doing, like, I think we've seen nudges in sales when there's been a big change. Like when they went Retina, you know, it just so happened that like we got big changes a bunch of times in a row, because first we got the camera and then we got the Retina display. And I think we saw another like upward nudge in sales numbers when we got Touch ID on the iPad. And I think that the next thing is going to be, you know, once we get 3D touch on an iPad, that's going to be the thing that's going to send the next one, you know, kind of up a notch. But the maturity of the hardware itself, like a lot of people aren't going to see the difference between an Air and an Air 2 for another year or two, you know, once you start really being able to see the difference in the processing power behind those devices. So it's not a phone, and you don't have to upgrade it every year to get the new thing. They're still putting most of that innovation into the one in your pocket and not to the one, not to the tablet. So I think there's probably a perfectly acceptable reason for it. And people just, like Adam's saying, don't understand the cycle.
I think the interesting point, though, is that Apple's gone through a stage now where it grabs market share, but actually now it's at a point where it starts to shoot itself in the foot by its decisions. And I mean that as in, so they've probably hit a saturation point with the amount that people can afford on the cycle upgrade every 2 years for a phone, and people going, I haven't got any more money to give you. I'm sorry, I love your products and everything, but I haven't got any more to give you. And with iPad, there's a latency of the fact that the iPad still performs, and they're going, I just can't afford the upgrade anymore because, you know, times are tough, and actually I've bought every product that you've got. I'm sitting here, I've got an iPad Air, I've got a MacBook Air in there that I haven't opened in 8 months. And there's a lot of me now is looking at the stuff that's gathered around me that I haven't used for a few months and gone, this is silly. You know, I can afford it, but I don't want to afford it. And there's a certain element as well within that, that Apple build up a cycle and they build up a process of innovation to create and keep you buying. But people are kind of going, I'm not buying because I don't need it. I can't afford it. And I think that's where they're hitting this stone wall. And I think iPad is a great examination of that.
Well, product maturity also plays into that same factor, Ewan, right?
I think it's just that.
You have to give me a reason to upgrade, but you have these products now that have been around for so long. Technologically, they've kind of reached the peak of their sophistication. And as sort of Don was mentioning, you can do little tweaks to kind of bump that. But, you know, the iPhone, when it came out, totally revolutionized smartphones. Now I think it's just feature after feature upgrade where it's incremental, right? They added 3D touch as the new thing. But, I mean, that's not as impressive as, you know, being able to really improve the camera system. Well, now their camera system's so mature, they can do little tweaks and make it a little bit better. But, you know, you're not going to compel people to go out and buy a new phone when I have a phone that's really great. Like you said, I've reached a point where I kind of don't have more money to spend, so, you know, I'm going to go now from the 1 year upgrade cycle to the 2 year upgrade cycle because that's going to be fine for me, or 3 years, or, you know, so again, the mature products, you start to upgrade them less and less because there's less reason to upgrade. And so you have to bring out new products and new innovations to kind of offset that. And we've seen Apple doing that. I mean, as much as I don't like how much they're diversifying in terms of their product line and what they're selling, they know they're at a point where they're kind of need to do that. And what's funny is the bar that they're held up to is so much higher than many other companies.
No, I'm not doing that.
You know, it's like they're expected to have this massive year-over-year growth. And if it's not massive, if it's just growth, like normal growth, oh my God, they're doomed.
No, I'm not doing that. And I'm not talking about...
No, I know you're not doing that. I'm not implying
I'm talking about things like you have a 4-inch iPhone. And then demand says, I want a bigger screen. So you bring out a 5.5-inch iPhone, and iPad, mini iPad sales drop off quite markedly. And I think that's where Apple have got a real issue, is the fact that
they know that.
I don't think they do. I think they're still trying to figure out, if I release this product, what's it going to affect? And they're not sitting thinking about whether they're affecting Samsung or Huawei anymore. They're sitting thinking about whether they affect their own product line. And I don't think they've actually got that sorted out in their head. I think it's kind of like, I think the releasing the bigger iPhone and the iPad mini sales dropping off like a stone, I think that shocked them. I didn't think they were expecting that at all.
I think they were hyper aware of that. I think they knew exactly the kind.
They know about
internal cannibalization. They talk about it all the time.
That's part of their strategy, though, isn't it? Or part of their philosophy, in that they never worry about cannibalizing their own sales of other products. And, you know, they've stated that several times. Because they'd rather cannibalize their own product lines with their own products than allow anyone else to do that. So, yeah, they really I'm sure they take that into consideration, but it's not an overriding consideration that would stop them from doing anything.
Doc's been very quiet, and I'm conscious that he's been so quiet. Doc, don't turn this into an hour, but go ahead. He's on mute. He's been talking all along.
No. I was going to say that anecdotally, like, you know, normally I don't like to adjust these things into my own personal thing, but I can say I can't be the only one in this. And as you mentioned it, something very similar. So part of the thing is my iPad, I had the Air, the second generation Air. And when it came time to replace it, I'm like, I'm going to, and I want to, but let me think about this for a minute. So I let one cycle slip, and I found myself not using my iPad the way that I use my iPad because I had gone to the larger phone. And then, you know, I was like, I told myself I was going to be one of those guys because they're two total different things, right? Like the pad can do things that the phone can do, whatever. But I found increasingly more apps were starting to come out that would fix people who didn't have an iPad and only have a phone. So it's much easier to pull the phone out of my pocket than to go get the iPad. And until the iPad Pro, I didn't really feel the need to need two. But now that I got the Pro, I'm back to my normal cycle again. So for the people that didn't think that, you know, say the bigger phone would not cannibalize on the iPad, I'm going to say you're wrong, because I was one of them. And I sat on this show, and I'm sure you and Mullerbiker probably have the date. I was like, no, you know, it's not going to cannibalize the iPad. iPad is a whole different thing, blah, blah, blah. I said that shit and did it myself. So, you know, it's very, very, very possible that, you know, you're going to see the clients coming in the mini area, because, like, I can't see where mini even fits right now for me personally. I'm sure there's people that it does, but, you know, there has to be some cannibalization, even to those of us who don't think we would do it, and we do it all the time.
Good conversation. Good conversation. New iPad, new notebooks coming. Staggered launch in 2016, allegedly, led by MacBook, and then the 13-inch MacBook Pro being upgraded to the new Skylake processors. I mean, it's not surprising that there's going to be an upgrade to both lines, I would have thought. I wouldn't expect that to be a huge shocker to everyone. Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C are the ones that they're talking about being included there.
Interesting on the Thunderbolt 3 to me.
Go on.
Just because I don't know how ready that is to go. I think the USB-C is going to be a bigger, more popular connector for a lot of people. I know on the pro end, on the high end, you know, everybody wants the Thunderbolt, but yeah, you know, I think that's a smaller percentage of the market. I think USB-C is going to change a lot of stuff.
Are you not worried about them walking away a little bit from Thunderbolt? Because I it was interesting. There was a question from Batwinch in the Slack room, and she was saying about getting an external SSD. And I looked around for Thunderbolt connected SSDs, and there used to be a fantastic system. Here you go. So you take your SSD and you stick it in a standard enclosure with just an opening on the port on the other end. And Seagate did the Go system, GoFlex.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy these anymore.
No.
They're gone.
Nope.
And yet they were the best thing since sliced bread. They still are. I'd love mine. And if it ever breaks, I'm in deep shit.
I'm looking to buy a second one like you. Just as a backup.
No. Yeah, I've gone on eBay to try and find one that's going, because I've now found out since Batwinch's question that they're not available anymore. And there's a bit of me kind of like, why on earth are people walking away from Thunderbolt products? And they are walking away from Thunderbolt products. There's not a lot available on Amazon to buy for external SSDs in Thunderbolt.
Again, it's a pro connector. You know, it's the classic thing. It's like, why is Apple walked away from the Mac Pro? Why is Apple, you know, why did Apple walk away from FireWire? It's not going to go away, but I guarantee you it's going to be marginalized, because the market that Apple has for it is, and maybe marginalized isn't the right word, but it's a smaller market, and there are less accessories. USB-C is going to blow up. We're starting to see it already, and it's fast enough for most people. Now, for certain applications, you need something better, and that's where Thunderbolt's going to drop in. But, you know, most users aren't going to ever connect anything to their Thunderbolt, including monitors moving forward. I mean, for a lot of people now, Thunderbolt, all it is it's how I hook up my monitor, right?
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Well, not for pros. I mean,
the original Thunderbolt was quite expensive about the larger market people to develop the third-party stuff.
Yeah.
So I think Thunderbolt 3 is, when it arrives, we will see more pro units. I'm sure vendors are actually sort of holding back for Thunderbolt 3 before they do any new development, because, you know, it's an expensive process to go through. Thunderbolt 3 will give us so much more bandwidth, and we've got, you know, all the new displays that will be coming out as well. Apple Cinema Display, a Thunderbolt 1, who knows? You know, we're well overdue for a 4K or 5K separate display. And until Apple can produce a laptop that's got the Thunderbolt 3 connector in, you know, we won't see those. So, yeah, you know, the MacBook Pro range will probably still have Thunderbolt connectors, but, you know, the USB-C is going to be the consumer-level connector for the future. That's just the way it's going to pan out.
Yeah, I mean, Doc's put a link in there for Akitio stuff, and we looked at them when we were at Macworld 2 years ago, and they're phenomenal stuff, really, really good quality stuff. And as well, you've got the fact that you've got the Thunderbolt in, and then you can go to FireWire, Thunderbolt, USB 3, another Thunderbolt relay. You know, their output on their little device was absolutely superb as a hub for it. And they've got a fair amount of stuff that's Thunderbolt based. Yeah, I know. They're good. But it was just like, you know, you look at the consumer outlets like Amazon, and it was difficult to find anything that really fitted the bill. And going back to my predicament, you know, I've gone for the Atomos with an external, so I've got four of these SSDs. And when I'm out on site, there's four 500 gig SSDs that I can pull out and push into the back of the video monitor that does 4K. And then when I come back, I drop them in this, and away you go. And it's a perfect workflow. Plus, it's bus powered, so it's great. I haven't got to have external power. I can run it just by plugging in one lead. But that disappearing pains me greatly.
It's not going to disappear. It's just, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have the one connector and you're going to have three USB or C or whatever. Yeah, you know, it's just the classic thing. There's just not going to be, there's not a huge market for it. So, you know, you're going to pay more and it's going to be limited. It's just the same thing that FireWire always was.
I was just going to say that. It's like FireWire. Like, if you needed it, it was a great thing to have, but not everybody needed it. And some people went on to lead successful lives never having had to worry about FireWire. So it really depends on your use case. Like, some people need every ounce of bandwidth they can get out of Thunderbolt, and I use it to plug in my monitor sometimes, and that's it. So, like, for me, it's not going to be a huge difference until there's a different monitor I can hook up to that same port, honestly.
I rely on it for
now. See, you and are a different story, and for you, you're like probably panting for Thunderbolt 3, like you can't even wait. So I can totally see why, because your use case for your technology is very different from mine.
Me and my Thunderbolt cables do have some special moments, I grant you.
Should point out as well, someone's pointed out on Twitter that we're talking slightly cross purposes, and the Thunderbolt 3, I think, is a protocol, and the connector for Thunderbolt 3 is actually the USB-C connector. So
it is.
It'll probably be a single connector, but it can be either USB-C with USB off on top of it, USB 3, etc., or faster, and then Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah.
So we're not necessarily talking different connectors here. It's just different available bandwidths and stuff.
So what you're saying is that all of the Thunderbolt stuff I've currently got won't fit on the new MacBooks?
I don't know. I don't know if for backwards compatibility they will still include the old
backwards
Thunderbolt
being
connector,
the operative word.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you Apple will be more than happy to sell you a $29 adapter so that you can get it done.
but I think, you know, one of the things that I think at heart sometimes is that Apple have got less love for connectors than they have for people's photos.
Oh no, they love connectors.
Oh, that was a cheap shot, but you know it's valid. That's the point.
Yeah,
I'm sitting opposite a bloke who lost a load of stuff.
And Apple has a little white plastic $29 solution for you.
Yeah, except it's 25.
I've probably spent more on that than I have on all my computers and all my phones and all my iPads put together.
That's because you're a tight ass, though, Kelly.
It's not, but we'll go with that. Okay.
Oh, come on. Come on.
No, it's because every time I buy a new computer, I end up having to buy like three of those little bastards, and I hate having to do it. That's all it is.
Samsung has, not Samsung, Apple. Why have I got Samsung on the brain tonight? Who started that?
You did.
I did. Yeah. I shouldn't have gone with that story, should I? Apple recalls some international wall adapters due to risk of electric shock. It issued a voluntary recall for certain two-prong AC wall adapters designed for use in Argentina, Australia, Brazil, continental Europe, New Zealand as well, and South Korea. Those people, there is a small risk associated with electric shock, but it's only those people who are too stupid to not hold the metal bits when plugging it in. I made the last bit up.
Now, this is the duck head, right? The little chiclet that you pop off the side of the adapter?
Yeah,
the
it's those that have got 4913.
I mean, they might be in travel kits as well, so even if you're in the UK or whatever, you still should really check.
I've got one around here somewhere. But if it's got EUIR on it, then you're fine. Don't worry about it. Unaffected. Yeah. It's been redesigned. But if it's got 4913, so when you pull the little duck head off, if you look in the slot that's provided there, if it says 4913, don't touch it. A spokesman from Apple said.
Does it have a capacitor in there, so can it like build up a charge?
I don't think so. I think it's just twats that are affected.
that could be fun at parties. You know, you can just walk around and zap people with that thing. You may not want to send it back.
If you've been affected by that unit and I've just deeply offended you, oh well. Right, so we've had upgrades this week. El Capitan got an upgrade and iOS 9 got an upgrade. I've seen the Slack room's been a bit of a flyer today with people that have been talking about various problems that have gone on. I know my tethering didn't work on my phone until a full reboot on both devices. That thing cleared it up. But a few people are talking about... various, I'm trying to scroll back through the Slack room now and find what the issues were, but there's lots of things with Safari as well not working.
Yeah, I had that today. Couldn't type into the URL bar. Very strange. Oh, but yeah. There is a fix. You just switch off Safari suggestions and that cures it. So I don't know what the problem is, but yeah, it was really strange. It was on two machines as well, so it threw me a bit. I thought I had something ring in the background that was stopping one of the Safari instances, but no, it's two machines. Switch off suggestions on both, and they're both back to normal. Pretty weird.
This is the 9.2.1 update.
Sorry, no, this is on the Mac. This was on El Capitan.
Yeah. Oh. There's been issues on the 9.3 beta and the 9.2 update as well. Yeah. That people have mentioned.
I haven't run into anything so far.
Anyone else know?
Yeah, it was spotty. I mean, it wasn't all the way across the board, but I'm with Don. I had it on two machines. The other machine was fine. And then for me, I didn't even switch off suggestions. I just did like full on reboot, like power all the way down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's fine after that. Oh, it was really weird though. Like you couldn't type into anything.
Yeah, your it's bar. Really strange.
You were just like, you're banging away at the keys and Safari's going, yeah, I don't feel like it.
Bronwyn's
freaked out yesterday.
Bronwyn's chipped in on the port front. She said that she misses the AD8 port.
Oh, I miss ADB.
ADB. It looks like an 8.
No, that's a B.
It's a B, yeah, it is a B.
My glasses
are great, it's just my eyes that are crap. those two new plugs are going to be the Thunderbolt plugs, says Muller. Thanks, mate. Deepan says, Darwinism at work. If you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed on this show, then grow a pair. Neil Dodd says, I've had that Safari problem on my Mac and my iPhone today. So.
Yeah, the iPhone was just crashing like crazy. But then supposedly that fixed too after reboot.
According to Serenac, the problem related to the Apple servers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But nothing else.
Can we talk about Apple's other notable update this week?
Which is?
To Snow Leopard.
That is kind of funny.
Are you greeny?
No, I just thought it was hilarious that out of nowhere, Apple dropped an update to 10.6. I mean, we're at the point in 10.11 where it's going to be hit and miss when the operating system one behind the latest version continues to get updates. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Apple goes, hey, Snow Leopard, here you go.
It's got to be just security.
It's fixed for the App Store. But no, what I find was funny about it is Jerome and I were just talking about how all the people complain when like the two-year-old or, you know, two-version-old, which is basically the same thing. OS doesn't get updates as fast. They go, see, I was just abandoning me, blah, blah, blah. And then they rock a Snow Leopard update. I kind of wanted to post it like 50 times to be like, see, shut up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, that was a positive story. And you're still going on with the fanboy rant.
It's not a fanboy rant. I just laugh at people who get so angry about it. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of funny. Like, I think that computers are at a level now where we should know. You got 2 years. Everything after that is bonus. It's just sort of a thing.
It was funny to me. Like I thought someone had posted it as a joke or as a typo. Like I really did not believe it was an honest to God Snow Leopard update. And so that to me was the only reason it was notable, was because I was like, Snow Leopard, really? And it's the App Store certificate stuff that we saw before. They've somehow put out a fix for that in the App Store on Snow Leopard, so I just thought that was kind of funny.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm glad they addressed it. What was funny to me was somebody mentioned that, like, if you look at whatever the usage charts are, that Snow Leopard is like 5% maybe. So I just thought it was interesting they released that fix for that small number of people.
It is. That's an awful lot of updates.
That may be what's running on my old mini server. I should probably check that.
To be fair, 5% of people probably do buy an awful lot of shit in the App Store, and they needed saving from that.
Yeah.
Twin cameras coming in, iPhone 7, and probably a second lens for optical zoom. Come on, someone's going to be excited about that.
Well, I think the story was one of those lenses is going to have an optical zoom on it, and the other one would have the image stabilization.
Yeah.
What's more interesting is the kind of cool things you can do in software once you have that extra data. So it'll be interesting to see what features that opens up. Like, I know one of the ones that's talked about that sounds like it would be cool is the adaptive after the fact focus, right? So you have
Lytro?
Different focal, like the Lytro. So you have each lens is capturing a different focal length, different, you know, information, and then you can dynamically switch your photo afterwards. So you pull it up and you realize, oh, you know, I want this thing in focus, and to be able to tap on it and have it refocus because it has the extra data is kind of cool.
So for people who are playing along at home and may not know, optical zoom is when you're actually able to do it with the glass that you have in front of you. When you have like a DSLR, right, and there's the ring around the outside and you turn that to adjust what the focus is like, that is optical zoom. That's like a hardware thing that is done by adjusting the glass that you're using to take the image through.
Well, right? You could put another piece of glass in front, though. That's still optical.
Okay, but
telescopes have been doing it for quite a while.
Right.
But that's different from digital zoom, which is when the software is what does it. So if you hold up your iPhone and you zoom in by using the pinch to zoom when you take a picture, that is done in the software. That's not something that you're not getting the best possible data when you do that, because you're letting the software do that work for you instead of focusing with your feet. So
has anybody ever taken a good photo with digital zoom? I have never been able to take any good photos. Digital zoom is just garbage.
Well, it's interpolation of the image that's inside the camera, and
I get why it's garbage, but I'm just saying it's garbage.
But they don't. No, what I'm saying is, hang on, they're interpolating the data, but the thing is, they don't actually truly interpolate. They don't sample the center pixel in 9 and then upgrade to the external 8. That's the problem, which is what Photoshop does and does extremely well, and what Fractals does and does extremely well. The in-camera stuff is poor. I mean, it's just non-existent. It basically takes a picture of the picture. And if you look at the 1020, you know, you look at the zoom that's on that. The zoom on that was absolutely phenomenal, and the interpolation on it was very, very good, but it was still relatively crap in comparison to the stuff that you got. And when you looked and got the DNG file out, you didn't get a zoomed DNG file. You just got the original wide-angle DNG, and then you had to go in and zoom in yourself in Photoshop afterwards.
But there's an important distinction there, and I want to make sure that for people who don't necessarily spend tons of time taking pictures, that they understand the difference.
If you don't get that distinction, then watch out for when you're handling your duck head off your Apple MacBook. Because I think most people that listen to the show do. But the thing with that's cool about the optical zoom, and I think the other thing the other thing that iPhone need to do is Apple need to start thinking about what they're doing with the information that comes on the sensor, because there's lots of other camera providers out there now are starting to realize that they're gathering a shed load of information on the sensor, and people want that information. Some people are going to want that DNG file output, and Apple haven't bothered with converting it. They've just flushed it after they've done the JPEG conversion, and they need to start giving that as an output to really keep up and get some kind of credibility within. I will stand that the iPhone 6 takes a great picture. I have no problem with it. I'm sure the 6X takes an even better picture. And I'm sure the 7 will take a fantastic picture beyond that as well as. But I think, you know, there's not enough output for everyone to want to have. And I think even consumer market is getting more and more aware of the raw pseudo DMG output. Doug?
I have no argument with that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Everyone wants DNG.
Yeah.
So that's it. Are we going to vote? Time. All those in favor of Apple doing DNG in the next upgrade?
If you think it's good, I think it's good. So
no, that's most unanimous carry. Carried unanimously. There we go. We like that.
Do we have to wear a wig now? Is that over?
What? No. You've got to grow a comb over, mate. That's entirely different from putting a sodding wig on.
I meant parliamentary. If we're going to do parliamentary thing, I was wondering if I need to wear a wig.
No, mate. The wigs haven't been round as a party for 150 years, I don't think, it's successfully anyway.
Liberals. So about the same old as Mueller.
Well, they're not the Liberals, though, are they? That's the thing. There's talk about improvements in camera quality. The Lynx X 8 megapixel font. There's some nice pictures here of iPhone 5 versus Lynx X and Galaxy S4. And it does give you a significantly better image. There's no question of it. And also they're talking about edge correction and softening as well. They're comparing against iPhone 5S, so that's not a brilliant comparison because I never thought that was a great camera. I did, everyone raved about that, but I always said the 1020 was far better. And it was. I couldn't agree with me more on that point. but I think the 6 is extremely improved on the 5. So there's loads of stuff. There's loads of pictures there on Mac Rumors if you want to go and have a look. But. And they're talking about also 3D rendering being available. Because it's shooting two lenses, you've got the opportunity for 3D depth mapping. And didn't they buy a firm that did this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. There was a release about that. So that's, I think that could be two and two adding up to five potentially on someone's radar. But it's a possibility, certainly.
Yeah, I think so.
There we go.
That was actually the first reason that I thought this rumor got started was because of that purchase.
I think that's probably self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. I go with that. Definitely. And last story, because it's a great story if you're a Barclays customer anyway, is that Barclays is getting Apple Pay.
Allegedly. Finally.
Allegedly. Now, they said March, and I think it probably will happen, but there's a bit of me. I'm a Barclays customer. I don't think I'm risking anything by saying that, but I've kind of gone past the, oh, Apple Pay would be great kind of thing, and I'm kind of like now, well, I don't think it's going to change my life that much, and I go into places that take it, and I don't feel like I'm misusing it, and I look at other people, and there's a bit of me when I talk to people, it's kind of like, I think you've actually gone past that, oh, it's great, and you're into the, yeah, I'll just get my wallet out now. I don't know that that it's like a religious thing for people.
I don't think it's a religious thing. I still really like to use it when I can, and I find it very, very convenient and fast, and it just seems to be getting better and better, and support seems to be getting better. My biggest problem with it is still the thing I've had from day one, is Apple is not doing enough. At least here in the States, I don't know how it is over there. Maybe it's more ubiquitous, but here in the U.S., they're not doing enough to entice retailers to support it. I think they need to take some of their money and some of their cash, and I don't know if they need to do kickbacks or payoffs or even if they can do that, but if they can find some other ways to incentivize more businesses to adopt the system, that would be great. If I could use it more places, I would. The problem is just the not knowing when and where you can use it. But when you go to a place that you know supports it, I do use it, and I find it much more convenient than any other form of payment, especially with my Apple Watch.
I was flipping through Instagram while I waited in line.
So here's what I got for you, Adam. One thing that I thought was really, really epic, in the last week, I visit two of the stores that were part of the MCM thing. That came out day two of Apple Pay announcement, saying that we're not supporting Apple Pay because we're going to follow Walmart into the fray and blah, blah, blah. And one of the bigger of the two was Best Buy. And I rolled into Best Buy like 2 days ago to pick up another Philips bulb just because it was closer than the Apple store. And amazingly enough, in bright, gigantic, iconic fashion, they adapted all their screens to show that they now accept Apple Pay.
Yep.
Best Buy was one of the biggest ones on that list. And I forgot the other one, but I want to call it Target.
Yeah,
that's not right. Was Target MCM too?
Yep.
Yeah, they were MCM.
It was another big one. And I went to both places this week, so that must be true. But both of them are Apple Pay now. And so I think the first segment to what you're saying, which is kind of epic, is that a lot of the big guys are, you know what, you're costing me money trying to be part of your like counterculture crew. And then the other one is, as soon as Square and PayPal get the units that I ordered like 8 months ago to me, I'm not the only guy. There's all the small retailers, right?
No, so
it's going to blow up as soon as those come in.
Doc, a coffee shop I like just got theirs about a week ago, and she told me she ordered it in like July.
Yeah, I ordered mine in July. So that's good. That's good.
So I was going to tell you, you may be closer than you think.
Can we just go to Adam? Because he's going to burst if we don't.
Yes. Go, Adam. What are you holding up?
I have mine.
Hey. Oh,
you got yours. Gangster.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the thing that you hook to your phone? Because this is the thing that goes to the POS, is the thing I'm talking about.
The POS being the same thing. Of shit.
I mean, it's wireless.
You
just
don't have to touch it. I mean,
point of sale.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll take this is like the chip, the MagStripe, and Apple Pay, all contactless stuff.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, I always thought that they would hit the retail before they got it to those of us that mail it, because there is, for about 6 months now, a third party that sells in the Apple Store. I want to call it GoToPay or something of that nature. And you can buy one for 49 bones. It comes with 49 bones worth of credit to process these things. But I just didn't trust that one because I had never heard of that company. So I'm like, I'll do the Square and the PayPal. Whichever one comes first, they're going to win. Mm. And an Intuit one is only now accepting pre-orders. And the accountant / old lady would prefer that I use the Quicken one because she's a curmudgeon and she's Quicken.
Because Quicken, yeah.
The other thing that's cool in here is it includes the sticker for your counter, which shows that you take Apple Pay and all the rest. Cool.
See, that's going to fix a lot of stuff for us, Adam, is the guys at the craft fair or at the football game or, you know, the food truck rally or whatever. That's the stuff that more matters to me than the big box stuff.
What's your limit, though?
As far as what you can sell?
The amount that you can do in a single transaction.
I've sold a Mac Pro with a bunch of camera equipment on Square for like $3,000 and it didn't even blink.
Well, it took it on Apple Pay.
No, that was just on Square. So I think it's more about not the Apple Pay. I think it's more about the Square or whatever, you know, whatever the bank will process.
What Square will accept and what your card will let you charge. I think those are the two biggest things.
Well, my card is like going, hey, stop that.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about the thing to me about Apple Pay is that I feel like partly Apple should subsidize some of these terminals. I think that's absolutely an amazing use of that extra cash they've got lying around. But also education, because every once in a while I go somewhere and if the person behind the counter is like friendly and I'm not holding up the line or whatever, I'll go, so can't I pay on my phone? Can't I pay with my phone yet? You know, and they'll say things like, it's not secure, or why would you store your credit card number on your phone, or I could never do that because it isn't safe, and on and on and on. And I feel like, you know, obviously not everyone has read the article I wrote that breaks down why it's actually safer to do it with your phone than with that slab of plastic in your wallet. But I did write it, and so I understand what it is. And, you know, I don't always have the time or the patience to explain to somebody, no, let me tell you exactly what's happening, because it's actually way better than making me wave this slab of plastic around if you just let me bonk it with my phone and move on with my day. And I think also, though, a lot of people are still under contract. And so when they get a new phone, even now, if they were on a 2-year contract, they would have missed the 6 entirely. And so if they're just now at the point where they can get something where Apple Pay will work if they don't have a watch, and can now get a tall phone, a 5 or a 5S or a 6 or a 6S that actually will let you use Apple Pay. Like when I got my phone, Apple Pay had been out for a year because I got a 6S. I didn't get a 6. And when I got my phone, the first thing I did once I copied all my stuff over so I didn't have to listen to default noises anymore was I went to Walgreens. Like I made up an errand so that I could go wave my phone at something and pay. And I don't think the novelty of that is going to wear off for people anytime soon.
What did wear off, though,
is those MCX agreements, which is what I was going to tell Doc, is that that's why Target and Best Buy are doing this, because last year's earnings call, I want to say it was spring or summer, because I was sitting on the porch on the patio doing the updates, is that they said it was coming to the app. Like then, both Best Buy and Target last year said, it's coming to the app like now, and it's coming to the stores soon. And anytime I ask anybody why they don't have a system where I can pay with my phone, I never say Apple Pay, why don't you have a system where I can pay with my phone? Everyone says, we had to replace all of our terminals a year ago, and it's too expensive to do it again.
Hmm.
Or 2 years ago, or whatever it is, and they're super spendy. So if Apple subsidized that...
You got to be careful, Kelly, because Paul Wright generated himself a sales opportunity for Apple for using Apple Pay in Norwich, and he nearly got burnt as a witch.
See, this is the problem with Apple Pay in the UK, is that unless they've got a really big sign saying Apple Pay, no way am I going to try it just to see if it works. I mean, come on now, I don't want it to, you know, if there's a big sign, I'll give it a go, and it's worked 9 times out of 10, but, you know, in the UK anyway, they've got to really promote it, they've got to publicise that their terminals will work with it, otherwise no one's going to use it.
Again, Apple has failed with Apple Pay at retail, I think, at point of sale. They have not done a good job at making sure that retailers are supporting it. And I don't know what that takes. I would imagine they could develop a program, a outreach program, where they have support for retailers. They offer them stuff. They try and help them. And I don't think they've done that as of late. I think they've been focused on getting rollouts to the banks. And that's great. Yeah. But there's many sides to this equation. And I think they're ignoring the most important one if they want to see consumer adoption.
It's like Apple are going to provide you with a free therapist.
Apple Pay, that's one thing. But if I've got all my cards in Apple Pay and I can't pay with them anywhere, that's a problem too.
I haven't got any cards in Apple Pay, and I'm not really bothered if I'm going to be honest, because Barclays, sorry, mate, you were too late. So there you go.
Here's the thing, Ewan. I mean, Apple has staffs of a whole staff of people that goes out and trains all the people at all of the carrier stores on iPhones and selling iPhones and how to promote them. They could do very much something similar where they go to the retail stores where they have Apple Pay deployed and make sure that the, you know, the checkers and the people on the front line are knowledgeable about the system and, you know, can help promote it. It's not that hard to do.
Right about that. 100% right. Because that's the difference. If there's no one out there, boots on the ground, even explain it to some of the coffee shops and whatnot, why they should be doing it. And how much more secure it is and whatnot. Because like Kelly said, people often ask me the same sort of things. I'm like, you have no idea. It's too complicated to get into, but this is much safer than you pulling your card out of your wallet and handing it to the, you know, 18-year-old kid at the, you know, pizza joint. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so different, but people don't understand it. And I think a lot of it has to do with there hasn't really been the level of marketing that we're accustomed to from the Apple. So it'd be dope to see an Apple Pay commercial in the Super Bowl.
Because all we saw was like all of the credit cards that signed up. Like whichever one it was that had like Gwen Stefani and Apple Pay and something, there was some sort of contest or whatever. And there was another one that was a big deal that they were that like, you know, this can be your Apple Pay card now. And that's awesome, but now I got all these cards in Apple Pay that I can't use anywhere because everybody thinks I'm carrying around the same 16-digit number on my phone that's on the piece of plastic in my wallet, and that's not true. And I'm like you, Doc, I don't usually get into it very far, but what I tell people is it's not storing my credit card. It's storing a secure little piece of information that you can't get to unless you have my thumb. And that seems to be good enough for a lot of people. Like, I got into it as far as my mom wanted to find out about it, and I got her set up with hers. And so now she can go tap stuff at Walgreens there in Vegas, and that's awesome. And, you know, she's used it a few times, and I think it's still really novel to her because anytime she gets a chance to, she calls me and tells me that she did it.
I have a question for you guys.
It's like the coolest thing that she's, like, excited about it, and it's one of the few things that given the march of technology at my house, it's one of the few things that ever made Mr. Kelly be like, oh yeah, look at this thing my phone can do that your phone can't. Like that was a long year.
The cashiers are still impressed when I use it. That's the thing. You know, it's like they shouldn't be. It should be like so common for them, but they're like, oh my God, that's cool.
That's how you know Adam is right about the need to be training, because it definitely freaks out the ladies that work at the cash register. I got a quick question for anyone.
Yes.
Just because I'm staring at my points, I just got my point statement. Anybody besides Don going to MaxDoc? Oh, actually, Adam, your face is on the light on the site too.
Yeah, I'm going to be presenting. I'm going to do a whole STEM talk there.
Excellent.
I'd love to, but my wife won't let me come unless I'm talking, and I feel a bit guilty just saying I'll only come if I can talk, because that's not what I'm about.
So. Somebody call MaxDoc and tell him to get an excuse for you to talk, so that way he can come.
I'll do something cool on what should I do it on? What should I do it on?
Hosting a podcast with a bunch of dicks from across the water.
No. I'll do it on I'll do it on Motion. There you go. Everyone's scared of
the morning one?
No.
No. Motion, the app. I had a Motion, listener send me a video he was working on for a personal project, and it had some great, you know, stuff. And I'm like, how'd you do that? And he's like, oh, Motion. It's the best $50 I ever spent.
Easily. Motion. Everyone's scared of Motion, and it's the easiest piece of software that Apple sell. They just think, oh, it's talking about Bayesian, what do you call it?
Masks. I'd go to that talk. You should throw it out. Throw it out to Barry.
I'm going
to
email Max
and Mike Potter.
I'll come if I can talk, but I can't. That sounds like I'm throwing me Teddy in the corner. I'm really not. It's just
no.
Like,
it's a long way to go. You need to justify it. I'm sure Mike will be able to be accommodating.
Was that you? How do you throw a temper fit in the UK?
Throwing your Teddy in the corner.
Oh my God, I have a new one. Because I always talk about throwing temper fits, because people in Hawaii have a tendency to throw temper fits, and I have a bunch of euphemisms, but that one requires an Evernote. Hold up.
Go pick your Teddy up out the corner and come back and talk about it sensibly, eh?
Oh, God. Wow, that is awesome.
This podcast and others is brought to you by UK2. We couldn't do it without them. They're absolutely superb. Thank you so much to them for giving us all of the live stuff that we've got. We've got 4 terabytes of video shows just sat there waiting for you to watch. We've got the NQL channel, which is supported by them and by the 100TB server that we've got as well, which is just amazing. The 100TB server has also got a backup on it of all of the video that we've ever produced and all of the audio shows. So if anything was to happen and we lost everything, we've got a backup of it, thanks to UK2. And thanks to Anders as well for setting up and doing all the hard work of actually physically sitting and backing it up. Damn sight faster than bloody carbonite, which is shit. I'm sorry, I'll get my soapbox out of the way. Please support UK2. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account or you want to go straight there and buy stuff. But if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, then you can have a look at the offer codes that are there, and you can get like 20% off your basket. I mean, there's massive reductions for people if you're, and it's not just new customers. If you're an existing customer, it doesn't matter. You still get 20% off. And someone told me that they managed to wangle 20% off on a renewal just by asking.
Wow.
Yeah, which I thought was awesome. Just ring up and go, well, yeah, but, you know, come on. I'm not that worried. You're going to give me, yeah, all right, fine. There you go, 20%. Done. So I may have that wrong, but they did tell me that, I'm sure. So check out UK2. They support us. And we'd be lost without people that give us support. So we got all the backroom crew with Anders and Shads and Wheaters. They keep all of the website running properly. We got Kyle, who does the news show, and he's paid for out of Patreon donations. So please, if you get a chance, please go and check out patreon.com/British Tech Network and give us just a shekel a month, you know, just $1 a month. If you think that's all we're worth, that's fine. But if you listen to the shows, you get pleasure from them, you get enjoyment, then please give us a little donation. It makes a world of difference to us. It helps us buy lights, it helps us buy mics and that kind of stuff. We don't drink it. It goes into the studio and it goes into giving people lighting and better mics at the place if they come on the shows and that kind of thing. So Righty got a brand new light out of the Patreon donation. As I said, it pays for old Kyle to do the daily show. So the news show is out there. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/news, you can listen every single day. You'll get the top stories in tech in a 5-minute manageable podcast. It's light and it's quick and it's easy. And Kyle does a phenomenal job. He did something like 220 shows last year, which was just like unbelievable stuff. So please check him out and please also support us on Patreon, because without those little dribbles of donations from people, we'd be absolutely lost. We wouldn't have been able to afford to do this. And there's no advertising, you see? So you should be paying us for not having the advertising on. I did listen to a couple of podcasts this week, and one of them actually was Radiolab, and it was just one podcast that was just nothing but adverts. And I was like, that's not what I subscribe for. Sorry, I don't mind the odd one, but steady on. Right, it's time for the cool thing, and Kelly's going to start us off.
Okay, so I actually have two, but they're the same thing, and they are wireless headphones. So this pair that I have now shed all over is this. These are the Jaybird blue ones. I don't remember what they
Stop
are.
Stop reading.
Sorry. No, I was trying to remember what the name of them was, and I forget what the name of them is. So you pop them in like this, and they've got these little fins so that you can stick it in your ear properly. And then they're Bluetooth, and so you can hook them up to whatever you want to. I like to use them when I'm, if I'm doing, like, mowing the lawn and stuff so that I don't have to worry about the cable. And the other one I want to pick is the new JLab Epic headphones. And I'm going to give full disclosure on these. I did not buy them. I won them from the Wirecutter, who asked for your favorite workout songs. And I replied and said, LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out. And I won. So these are awesome because they're waterproof. These are like their best, the current Wirecutter pick for the best exercise headphones because they're water resistant. And so I can wear them in the rain, but not swimming. And they're like sweat proof and everything. And so they do a really great job. You can read more about them on the Wirecutter.
Surely you only glow, Kelly.
What?
Surely you only glow. You're not a horse.
Sure. We'll go with that.
No. So horses sweat. Men perspire. Women glow.
Okay. Then that's good too. If you perspire.
That was a compliment. I didn't call you a horse woman.
No, and thank you for that. I just was confused.
Thank you for the sound effect, Doc.
Nay,
I wouldn't do that.
There's another cool thing about both sets of these is that they come with a microphone and a little controller on the wire. So if someone does call you, you can answer the call, and the speakerphone works well on both of them. I tried them out. And these also have a little memory wire, so you can fit them exactly to how your ears work, which is super awesome because apparently mine are incompatible with, like, all headphones. So those are super cool, and each of those is about $99, I think, is what the going rate is on both on each pair. So they're both Bluetooth. One of them is a little bit more rugged than the other, but I've spent many an hour with these in my ears, and they really hold up and do a fantastic job.
The chat room in unison has said, why the long face?
I know.
And Bout Muller's come in with a sensible question. Are they wireless? And I think they both are, aren't they?
Yeah. Both of them are Bluetooth.
Okay.
I don't know that they make that particular pair anymore, Ellie, but I just got a pair of the Jaybird X2s, which I think is their current version.
Yeah, I think you can still get these, but they're not the latest model.
I like them. I've had issues with battery life, although they claim 8 hours. I think I get like 5 or 6.
I probably tend to charge mine more than I really need to, but I've never had them die on me.
Okay.
What have I been right about?
Because when she first started, you was going battery life, battery life, battery life. And then Kelly goes on how great they are. Adam goes, yeah, they're cool, but I got a problem with battery life. So it's just kind of funny because it seemed like nobody heard you say that like in the beginning.
No, I heard him say that, which is why I wanted to ask about it, because I recently got a pair that was gifted to me, and I've been using them, and it seems like I have to charge them more than I would have thought, because they claim 8 hours of battery life. And when I think back, I think, because I use them mostly for watching movies at night, and I think I can get through probably about 3 movies before they die, which says to me about 6 hours, maybe even a little less. So I don't seem to be getting the 8. And a lot of the reviews claim that they have no trouble getting the 8, but that might be when listening to music. So I don't know if there's a difference between listening to music or movies. You wouldn't think so, but I don't know.
But the chat room says, is the Bluetooth connection stable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stable.
Now, the
Muller Biker says, I bet the microphone gets a good workout.
What I discovered with them is, as far as stability, is I like to keep my phone in my left-hand pocket, but the receiver is in the right-hand headphone, so I have to put my phone in my right pocket. But I have spent loads and loads of time with them in. They're comfortable. I know they seem like they would be heavy, but they do really a good job. The Jaybirds do, and they sound good, and so...
Excellent call. Good picks. Yeah. I think the battery life is the key factor, though. And that's where it's got to... The Bluetooth market for wireless headphones has really got to get its act together on battery. It's got to go 10 hours. Got to go 10 hours.
Well, these things are tiny. I mean, they're earbuds. I don't know how you get enough battery in there to go 10 hours.
That's the challenge. It's like Jeff Bezos. You know, he's got his Amazon drone thing, and what he's got to get over it is batteries, and he's got to get that done. Otherwise, it's a pointless exercise. And with Bluetooth earphones now, they're at the point where, okay, we've done that. That's fine. That's great. They do a certain amount, and then you can't use them when you're recharging them unless you plug them in. And then you can't recharge them while they're plugged in. And that we've got to get past that, and we've got to get 10 hours of battery life. And then they're really in the market. They're well worth having and paying good money for at that point. At the moment, with 3 hours battery life, I'm not spending 90 quid on a set of Bluetooth earphones. They've got the battery life they had 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not good enough. Not good enough. You've got to try harder for my shekel. And apparently a shekel is only worth 18 pence, so I need to ask for more. Adam, where are you, mate? What have you got?
I am going to pick a little app that is helpful to me being a web developer and trying to more and more use my iPad Pro for doing stuff. So one of the things that you often have to do is like debug a website, which involves typically on the Mac going into what's called the Web Inspector that lets you look at the code and sort of tweak the code and edit the code live on a website. And you can't do that in Mobile Safari, but there is a great app, a new app from Ergo called WebTools. And with WebTools, you can pull up a website. It has a little slider on the left right hand side that if you're working on responsive websites will let you adjust the width of the browser window so you can look at that. But more importantly, you can pull up a little inspector and you can add and edit and inspect the elements there, edit the attributes. And more recently, they just added, and I haven't purchased the upgrade, it's an in-app purchase upgrade, but they added the ability to get a JavaScript console so you can see logs and warnings and test your JavaScripts and even, I think, write on the fly little JavaScripts to test out on your website. The base app itself, I think, is $9.99 US, and then the upgrade for the JavaScript console is $14.99. So this is definitely like a pro tool. It's something that, you know, if you are a web developer and you want to do more on the iPad, is really, really handy for inspecting code and stuff like that. So nice little app if that's what you're looking to do.
No, good one. Nice job. Doc, what have you got for us, mate?
My first pick, it was only two, one of them is really short, is this application here. This is called Airtable. I found out about it through my brethren, Mr. Sandy, and I've been goofing off with it, and it's kind of cool. If you're like an old-timer, what's that thing called by Claris, and then Apple bought it, FileMaker type of dude, this is really cool, but it's like web-based. And it's a neat web-based database that's very fun to play with. It has a lot of power, so don't, you know, take it off as a toy, but I've been just goofing off with the samples that they have in there. Like, there's a neat one about like a restaurant field guide. And so put in a bunch of restaurants of places that I want to go because a whole bunch of new restaurants just opened as normal in January in many towns. And I want to go check out a bunch of stuff. But it's really neat. It's very much like FileMaker, but it's kind of fun to play with. And it's a payable thing at some point. But one thing that you can do is earn credits by, you know, using the iOS app and sending friends and inviting friends in and whatever. So yes, of course, if you do try it out, it's free in the beginning, but if you try it out, of course I'll get credit, whatever. Similar to Samebox. Like, I paid for Samebox for 1 month and I have like 20 years credit now. So I really, really love their monetization model. But anyway, it's just fun to goof off with. If you kind of miss the days of goofing off with database, like, seems like we don't do it as much anymore, but there's a lot of reason why you would want to. Something a little better than your standard list. And then my other quick one is more of a public service announcement, but I hope that we can figure out a way to get you in here, but I'm making plans to probably go to MacStock, and, you know, they got great talkers, speakers, like this chick named Adam Christensen, this smart guy named Don McAllister, Chuck Joyner's going to be there, like Allison Shirt, and all of the top, you know, Mac people that we know, but really, I'm just going because I miss all these guys.
Yeah.
It seems like so weird. Like, I haven't seen Melissa Davis, a.k.a. Mac Mommy, in, God, what, 2 years now? And, you know, I haven't seen Don in that long other than on the screen. You know, so it'd be just fun to go have a couple pints with these cats and hang out. But afterwards, we get to cruise in Barry's backyard.
We'll manage more than a couple pints, I think.
Yeah.
Just a few.
No, Don's going to be like, oh, I'm on dry July.
No. That'll be well over by then.
We're going to duct tape his ass down and pour like Japanese whiskey.
You can get lost in Barry's garden.
Yes.
Yeah,
indeed.
I kind of just want to go hang out in Barry's garden.
Barry's garden's got some of Kansas in it, I think.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Just so your expectations are set, the barbecue this year I don't think is happening in Barry's place. It's a little bit closer, but I would imagine we will find a way into Barry's garden.
There's still going to be a thing.
That sounds like a real bad sexual thing.
Yeah.
We're going to find a way into Barry's garden.
Yeah, we're gonna sow his. No, we won't.
Barry's man garden's going to get a good scene too.
And then maybe on the way back, I'll take a trip to San Diego to go get some free tacos. And I think it's going to work out where I can hit a Comic-Con right after.
Oh, cool.
I'm trying to double check the dates.
I could come with you for that. We could fly to Dallas, right? And we could get a Gas Monkey build and be on the show. And then we could drive it to San Diego afterwards, you and me.
Oh, my God, a Gas Monkey build. What?
The hell's that?
Cost us about 15K each.
That's an excellent show.
And then sell it when we get there, and we'll get the money back probably. That would be awesome. Right.
That would be fun.
I think I would die during that trip. I'd need to make sure my health insurance was paid up, that's for sure. Don, what have you got for us, dude?
Right, well, before I do, I mean, I just you know, the MacDoc. I actually went to MacDoc last year, which was the very first event, and it was really good. I mean, we're all missing Macworld, and one of the main things with Macworld was the community, and, you know, there were lots of people at MacDoc that I knew from Macworld, and it was a really great event, and this year is going to be even better, you know, especially with all the a lot of the old people coming back. So, well recommended. It's in Chicago. It's for 2 days. I can't remember the dates, but I'm sure you want to stick them in the show notes. But if you can make it out there, it's going to be a fantastic event. Last year was really good. Okay, so that's a plug for that. So this isn't new, but I actually got a new one today because I like them so much. It's one of these Shuttle Pro version 2s. It's a little gadget that I use for my video editing, but you can use it for any linear editing. It works with virtually any application. It's got a little jog wheel in the middle so you can move backwards and forwards on your timeline. It's got a jog wheel at the side and all these dedicated buttons to do various things. Once you start using it, you can never be without it because you just sort of build all your muscle memory up to do all the ins and outs and, you know, just the basic things you do with editing. You can do it all with this. The reason I got a brand new one today is that I've set up a second workstation as like a permanent sort of editing suite on the other desk. So I could have just moved this one onto it, but because I do some editing here as well, I couldn't be without it, so I had to buy a second one. They're not cheap, but they're about, I think, about between 80 and 90 quid. But the beauty of them is they come pre-configured with a load of templates. There's some software you can download, and there are templates for pretty much any application. But you can program it yourself, so you can use keystrokes, macros. It works great in conjunction with Keyboard Maestro as well, so if there's some really fancy things you want to do with it. But I wouldn't be without it. It's by Contour. It's the Contour Shuttle Pro version 2. Very, very neat piece of kit.
They went through a period of not working.
Pardon?
They went through a period, because I own one.
Yeah,
one too.
And they went through a period of not working for some reason. It was about the change. It was about the Snow Leopard change.
Oh, right, okay. And they've got, they keep bringing new versions of the drivers up. Perhaps it was a bad time for the particular driver. But I think the drivers are at version 3 now.
I think I kind of walked away from it thinking that was it.
It works brilliantly.
I
use it every day.
Because I went Ewan. I think what it was, Ewan, was, you know, the beginning of the universal USB driver versus the specific USB driver?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I loved my Contour back in the days. And then when it stopped working, I switched to this iPad app, which looks like the Contour, but it's an on-screen iPad app. But now I'd rather use this. This is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very tactile, and it molds to the shape of your hand as you're using it, and you just get to know where all it. You can feel the buttons, and it's just it's a pleasure to use. That's my pick.
Excellent. No, good. I like that. Someone picked Lifeline last week, or the week before, on the show, and it was about this guy who gets stranded, and you have
to save... It's a girl, actually.
Is it? I didn't know that. A person gets stranded, and you have to save them. And I've got to say that after playing it for a week now, I desperately want the guy to die. He drives me mental. I mean, he's just a mewling little shit, and you want him dead, her dead. I didn't even know. There we go. He hadn't even got so far in the game that I knew that it wasn't a guy. I was going to say an erogenous name, but that's the wrong word. It's
androgynous.
Androgynous
Taylor.
Name. There
Taylor.
We go. Yeah.
Swift.
Yeah, but I want him or her dead. I hate them. I hate them. It's the most annoying game.
Well,
I keep getting
two of
notifications.
The game just came out.
I keep getting notifications. Taylor is waiting for you. Well, Taylor can piss off because I'm not doing anything. Go to the big mountain. Oh, I might fall and break my leg. No, go to the big mountain. It's fine.
Go anyway.
Go anyway. I know it's night, but then I'll get cold. Doesn't care. Go, go, go. Shut up. I've got to go. Until he's cold.
Hey,
that which is I could stop playing. Go on.
Did you check out the game from Radiolab, the one That Dragon Cancer?
I haven't got that far in the podcast yet, maybe.
Oh, my God.
It's is that game out on?
Yes. Game? If I remember correctly, it's out. Hold on. But I've been wanting to, meaning to go and get it. But, yeah, the Radiolab thing was just, it's amazing. I can't wait till you get to that episode. It says now available, Adam. Buy now. I'm just going to buy it so that they can have money. I don't even know if I'll play it because it seems like it would drive me insane. But the music I don't want to give it away for you, but you got to go check it out. I'll give you the link, and then probably before you get the game, go listen to the Radiolab episode. But yeah, pretty amazing. You can skip. It's not in any order, Ewan. Listen to this one next on your next road trip, and then see if you want to try this game.
Okay, I will try. Thank you very much. I've decided that my cool thing is going to be motion.
All right.
Because I picked it before, and I did say at the time it's $50 that's well worth spent, $39.99 if you buy it in the UK still. But it is absolutely brilliant. It is the most powerful application I think you can possibly buy for an Apple product. And people look at it and go, oh, no, it's really hard. Oh, no, it's difficult to. There's so much you can do. You can get graphics to animate in it. You can get text to animate in it. You can pin text to the graphic. So as the graphic changes, it will follow the pixel. So you can get stuff to go across. You can put Bezier masks in so that you can track moving objects across the screen and get them to wipe stuff out. It is the most powerful application that is available for an Apple computer. And it's dirt cheap. And if you do anything like some fun stuff with your videos with your family, then it's money well spent by tenfold a long way. It is absolutely brilliant. I was right in the camp of you know, oh, it's a bit tough to do. And then all I did was got a couple of tutorials that kind of shoved me in the right direction, and that was it. And I was flying. Once I got the basic principles, and I think I've shown this before on the podcast, I did a picture of an eagle that I took as a still, and I got it to animate so it looks like it's coming into land with the wings sweeping forwards.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where that picture's gone. It's on a YouTube channel. It's definitely there. Someone will find it, I'm sure. It's on the blog post somewhere. But if I can find it, I'll stick it in the show notes in the chat room. But it was not that hard to do. If you're into your Photoshop and your layers, you can take a still image and you can animate it into something that looks really, really phenomenal. So there you go, motion, $39.99. Well worth the money. Well worth the money. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso.
Kelly, is that you in direct sunlight there?
Yeah.
Are you not worried? Because we always joked last year about you boiling away if you got into direct sunlight.
No, it'll be okay. I tested it yesterday.
Okay,
I'll be all right. But yeah, direct sunlight. If I had known, I would have fixed the blinds better. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter as Verso, and you can find me over at MacObserver.com, occasionally writing up stuff to explain things. And you can hear me on the After Show with Mike Rose at aftershowpodcast.com. And sometimes you can find me on another show around here.
Brilliant. Thank you. Adam, where the hell are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes. And also weekly on the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet at theiosshow.com.
Okay. Excellent, mate. Doc, where are you, sir?
You can find me most of the time goofing around on this network, the British Tech Network, and anywhere on the internet at DOCROCK.
Excellent, thank you very much. And finally, last but by not least, Don.
Thank you very much. Well, as usual, you can find my stuff over at screencastonline.com, where I do the weekly, it used to be Mac and iOS tutorials separate, but I've actually combined them together now, so that it's like one show each week, which is about 45 minutes long, and it combines the best of both Mac and iOS. So that's a change. I also got something to promote as well, which is some new apps. I used to have apps on the App Store, but most of them have since been retired. But as of this month, we've now got two Apple TV apps. So there's a separate Apple TV app for members, and they can get access to all the tutorials on the Apple TV. But launched as of last night, there is also an Apple TV app for non-members, because not everybody wants to have a full membership. So what I've done is created an app for the Apple TV and for iOS called Screencast Online Showcase. You can download it to your iPad, to your iPhone, to your Apple TV. There are some free content on there, so you can go in and have a look at some free tutorials. But there are also in-app purchases, so that if you see the series on Apple Photos, you can watch the first one for free, and then you can buy the other episodes, full complete shows. You can buy them individually. Now, it won't have everything on there, but you know, if you do want to try some Screencast Online stuff out and you don't want a full membership, go and check out Screencast Online Showcase.
Excellent, mate. If you're a user of Mac, especially if you're a brand new user of Mac, there's two things you need to do. Subscribe to Adam's podcast, The Maccast, and buy Don's tutorials, because they are to die for. And the thing is, you can keep going back to them. If you remember, you keep going back and you keep getting all the stuff, and you're kind of like, I'm pretty sure Don covered how to use ScreenFlow. You can go back and use ScreenFlow.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of fret about, I can't keep up with a new show every week, but that's not really the idea, although a lot of people do like to watch them every week. It really is, you know, it's an archive of about 600 shows now. So, you know, if you get a piece of software and you think, you know, if you go into the archive, more often than not, you'll find them covered. And I tend to, unusually for sort of my sort of service, I cover lots of the third-party software as well. So not just all the Apple stuff, but, you know, all the best in third-party software. Like this week, I'm be doing a two-part series on the latest version of 1Password, sort of from scratch. So, yeah, it's all good stuff.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin. You can follow the network on at British Tech, and you can follow Kyle Swagger at Kyle Swagger, because he's the one that does all the posts. Earlier on, I was saying about all the people out the network. I forgot to mention Writer Who deals with all the social stuff. So all the Facebook stuff, all the Google Plus stuff, all the Twitter stuff is updated by Writer. So thank you, Writer, for doing that as well as. We'll be back again next week on Thursday as normal. It won't change. And we'll be doing Mac and be doing big one after the other, and it'd be great. And if you want to find out what we talked about, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And if you want to get into the Slack room where it's happening, and Twitter's a dead thing to us now. Yeah, we're having too much party fun in there. Go, just send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and we'll let you in. Have a great week. See you next week. Thanks for listening.